Let's go in our Bibles tonight. You say, where? I don't know yet. Well, while I was sitting over there, God put a different message on my heart. So that's always exciting. So we're going to go over to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. And I'm supposed to go to Cronies after church tonight, so I might preach faster than normal because I'm already hungry. No promises, though. I always think I'm going to have a short message, and it always takes about 40 minutes. So that's about it. Amen. But we're here to hear the Word of God. Amen. That's why I came to church tonight, to be able to worship God, be around His people, and spend some time in His Word. And I know God will bless if your hearts are open to Him. Amen. Sometimes you have to look past the person giving the message and just ask God, God, what do you want from me? What do you want to show me tonight? What do you want to teach me from your word? If it's a story you've heard so many times, God can still speak to you, remind you of something you already know, show you something new, or kind of, you know, reinvigorate a fire that's died out in your life. So before we get into the message tonight, let's pray. And I ask that you would all pray at the same time as I'm praying, and ask God to speak to you. Ask God to speak to your heart tonight. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, this church that we have, that we can gather together, that we can fellowship in, that we can, Lord, freely come and proclaim that we're Christians, we're not ashamed of it. And Lord, I thank you so much for your word that you've given us. And as we spend some time now here in the book of Kings, Lord, I ask for you to speak. Lord, I don't need people to look at me and look at, Lord, anything human about this. Lord, we want to hear from you tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, I thank you for how often that you speak to us, even though that we're not worthy to hear from Almighty God. And Lord, I do ask that one more time that you would speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings 17. Verse number 1, and Elijah the Tishbite. We're going to talk tonight a little bit about, anyone want to take a guess? Elijah, amen, Elijah the Tishbite. This is the first time we see him in Scripture. It's the first time his name comes up. How many of you know something famous about Elijah? What do you got, Brother DeMayo? Amen. The end of his life is quite famous. What do you have? Called down fire from heaven. K-May, you got something? No? I was curious. You might be your favorite Bible character. Amen. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Ahab is the king. From what you know of your Bible, Ahab, if we were to break it all down, good king or bad king? Bad, wicked king. One of the worst in all of Israel. Elijah is sent to Ahab. What's his message? As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's a powerful first. This is Elijah's first message that we have in Scripture. His first message. I don't know much about him. I mean, people guess at how old he was at this time and things, but imagine your first message. God's called you into the ministry. You know, God's put a message on my heart. I'm going to be a prophet of the word of God. And God says, okay, now go to the king. You might think, ooh, I'm starting at the top. I'm not going to be a prophet to these little people down here in the villages. I'm going to the king, and I'm going to prophesy to the king. And then God gives you the message. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Maybe that's not the first message you want to preach, especially to the king. Famine kills millions of people still today. Lack of rain. Nothing's going to happen here in Israel. No rain, no dew even, until God says it's time for it to come back. When is that going to be? Doesn't say here. Doesn't have an answer for that. His message is simply go to the king and tell him. Ahab already knew of his sin. He knew he was away from God. He knew his life was not pleasing God. And now Elijah's just there to deliver the word of God, a word of judgment. No rain. So as Elijah delivers this message, I don't know if he walked out of the throne room boldly, if he kind of tried to get out real quick after he gave the message, if he shouted this as the king was driving by. It doesn't tell us how he delivered the message, but he delivered it. Then God speaks to Elijah again. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, now I would imagine if it's me, that Lord, I just did your will. Man, my first message, I was brave. I went to the king. We read about other people in Scripture. Jonah comes to mind, who when he was given an order, he ran from God. Elijah didn't do that. Elijah went right before the king and delivered this message. And I think maybe he's thinking, oh man, that was a hard message. I did it. I got it. I'm a prophet. I stood before the king. I delivered the word of God. God's going to bless me now. I can't wait to see what God's going to do in my life. That wasn't an easy task. We have a hard time going out to the street corner and holding a sign. Now, if you were out there, okay, now go ahead and preach us a message real quick. There's some people over there pumping gas. Can you deliver a message? Anybody here could deliver the word of God. We're out in the street corner. I said, Sister DeMayo, could you just go tell them how they could be saved? Some people would be, all right, let's go. I got tracks right here. And other people, me? You sure? No, I don't. You're not allowed to solicit over there by the pumps. I'm pretty sure it says that. We can't do that. We'll get kicked out. And we look for reasons why we don't. Elijah wasn't one of those people. This is important to see. God called him. He went. He delivered a hard message to a man who could have easily ended his life in an instant. And it wasn't. My expectation, and I believe yours would be, now that I did God's will, now it's my turn to get something, right? I did his something for him, now he's got to do something for me. But if you know the story, you know what's going to happen next. The word of the Lord comes to him the second time, and he tells him in verse number 3, get thee hence, I'm sure he probably liked that, let's get out of town, and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Once again, the word of the Lord comes to him. Not the best news again. It's kind of good, but it's really not. If I was to walk up to you and say, Brother Pastor Russo, I got the word of the Lord for you. You need to get out of town. I want you to hide by Sandy Creek. Just drink out of the water there, and some birds are going to bring you food. You look at this, and we think, you know, we picture the images in Sunday school, and how cool, birds coming to bring me food, and I'm camping. How many of you even want to go outside and camp, spend the night? We don't like that kind of stuff. It's good for a little bit of time. Now they have glamping. You're not even really camping. You're glamour camping, where you have a table, you have a full bed, you've got everything in the tent, air conditioner units. Why are you bothering? It's not even to get someone to even go sleep outside. Then you're going to drink out of the water, which is a little more common then. But then the birds are going to come feed you. The Humvees aren't here, so I won't get in trouble. We're not streaming this, are we? Okay, good. Birds are nasty. Brother, hey, you can testify. I saw a goose by the pond today, too, just to let you know. They're dirty. They are gross. They don't organize where they go to the bathroom. They don't care about any of that. Some animals you can train, not the birds. They just do whatever, wherever. My wife came home from school one day this summer, and the car is just covered. Did you park? Where did you go after school? Nowhere. I went to school. Were you under? There's no trees by the parking lot. How were there so many birds? They're just gross animals. It's not your dinner. It's going to bring you your dinner. I don't know if I like that. You think about that. Think about Elijah. Not how cool, it's a miracle, but you're the one who has to either pick it up off the ground or take it out of the bird's mouth. I don't know how that worked. And take it from their beak and their spit and their tongue. And some of the birds have those little extra hook things around their beaks and maybe their spit or the worms they ate just beforehand, and you're getting your food out of there. I'm not thinking, thank you, Lord, so much. What a glorious time. This is, Elijah was I can guarantee he was more spiritual than I am to handle this. Because to me, that's not good enough. Once again, God comes to Elijah with a message. And he's faithful to do it. It says he did it. Let's read this a little bit more of the story. He did according to the word of the Lord, verse number 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So he's doing it. He's following God's word. God's doing his part, but the point I wanted to try to make there is that it is not as nice as it might sound. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Elijah, sitting there by the creek, maybe he's gotten used to it. He's gotten a nice rock that fits his head good for a pillow. He's got a soft spot. Maybe he gathered some branches. He's got a spot. Maybe he's got a little covering. He's out of the rain. The birds are coming. He's drinking out of the river. He got used to it. He's acclimated some teenagers when we first get to camp, especially down in Mexico. Some of the Huber kids have been there. The bathroom situation isn't nice there in Mexico. The first years I went with Pastor Huber and Adam Hartman, it was just a row of toilets. No dividers. I mean, there's girls and boys' side, but no shower curtains, just shower things coming out of the wall and a row of toilets. And I thought, but after a while, and then after the second time, third time, you get in there, you get a little more used to it, but you don't ever really get used to it. And the teenagers we brought down, they fixed it up. Some it was nice, but even in Mexico, we had to warn some of our teenagers who were a little more well taken care of. Just be ready. I mean, this is going to take it's a little shock. Sleeping in a tent, they didn't believe how cold it got at night. It gets freezing cold. And then you wake up and you find out the water, there's no hot water heater. It's just freezing cold water. And then about the third day of camp, there is no more water. And you never quite get used to it. And Elijah's trying to do God's word. He might have gotten into a thing, but then one day he goes out, and it probably didn't happen overnight. Every day he can see that water. Ooh, it's a little bit lower today. I can see on the rock where it used to be yesterday. Now it's here. Well, it's not flowing as quick as it used to. It's getting a little more muddy, but it's what I got to drink out of. Oh, there is no flow. I got this little muddy puddle left, but that's what God's given me. I'll drink out of that. And then finally one day, nothing. God, I answered your call. God, I preached your message. God, I ran out into the wilderness. God, I've been sleeping out here with no tent, no provisions. I'm drinking out of a creek. God, I'm eating food from the raven. Now there's no water. God, when is it going to be my turn? When do I get something out of this? The word of the Lord comes to him again. Verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which is belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Woo, hallelujah! I'm going to town, and there's going to be a place for me to dwell. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Think of that. What a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm sure Elijah was jumping for joy. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. So he sees we don't have the whole story here. If God told him in that moment that's going to be the widow, but they know this is the right person. There's the prophet. There's the widow. She's out gathering sticks. Now, I'm sure when you think of widows in the scripture, and especially in these times or in a famine, you're not thinking big house, hundreds of servants. The widows are sustained by the charity of others frequently in the scripture. So to go to the widow's house is another thing. Then she's out gathering sticks. And his first request, you imagine, he hasn't had water. He travels. He gets to this place. And he says to her, at the end of verse number 10, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, imagine his heart, hey, can you go get me some water? I've been a little bit without any. And she goes, oh, she's got water. Hallelujah. Maybe that was a little test. And then as she's leaving, he kind of calls out. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, while you're going, on your way, can you bring back, what does he say? Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She has water. Let's see if she has any food. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. I'm not a Bible Hebrew scholar, but to me a cake sounds better than a bit of meal. I know we're not talking a birthday cake when it says cake. I know that. But to have a cake sounds better than I have a little bit of meal. Once again, in Mexico, frequently they used meal. It was masa. Just ground up corn with, you know, they add stuff into it. But that's what you make all the tortillas out of. And you could go to the place and just buy it in a ball of masa. So you could go home and make your own tortillas if you wanted. Now you say, I have, let's just say, a roll for you. Or I have a ball of masa. Which one do I want to eat? The roll. Because a ball of flour does not taste that good. Now she's going to add some oil. We're going to see here and make it a little bit nicer. But she said, I don't have a cake. And I only have a little bit of meal. Let's see, finish verse number 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering. She doesn't even have high expectations. How many sticks is she going to get?
Two.
How much can you do with two sticks when you're talking about a fire? Not much. I was talking with Brother Kopaczewski, trying to get some wood together for our team bonfire. We're going to need more than two sticks. You need more than that. What does that tell you about her, though? She really thinks this is it. I'm not getting a bundle. I'm not getting any for tomorrow. I'm not even getting any to heat the house. I'm going to get two sticks, and what she says here is true. I'm going to make the little cake, and we're going to die. Let's read that before we get into it. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's sad to hear. But Elijah, he doesn't know these people yet. He just knows God sent me to the widow's house. And what did God say he was going to do there? Sustain him. She's going to sustain you. My reaction is, God, this isn't the right place. There's no sustaining here. She doesn't have any food. She's given up. She's ready to die. God, what are you doing again? And Elijah said unto her, but look at his spirit. Because, as I said, Elijah is more spiritual than I am. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Look at Elijah. Now, as I've been going through this story, I'm trying to tell you how I would probably react and maybe how you would react. But Elijah does not react that way. God says, you're a prophet. Yes, sir. God says, go to the king. Yes, sir. God says, deliver this message. Yes, sir. God says, go to the wilderness and live. Yes, sir. The ravens are going to feed you. Sounds delicious. There's a creek there to drink out of. Okay. It's running dry. I'm going to keep drinking. God must have another plan. Go see the widow. Okay. I would say, why a widow? Why not the king? Why can't I go to the ruler's house? Why can't I go to the elder in the gate? Okay. She's going to sustain you. Sounds good. Talks to her. You only have I'm making a little thing here, two sticks, and we're going to die. Fantastic. Make me one first, because God gave me a promise, and he's going to do it. That's Elijah. For thus saith the Lord God. Woo. When God says something, that's when we start taking notes. God said, go to her house, she's going to sustain you. And even though she didn't even believe it, Elijah says, no, God said this is going to happen. It's going to happen. What miracles has God done? He sent the birds every day. I look at that and think, oh. But they came every day. That's not normal. That's God. And in his mind, he's thinking, lady, you don't know what I just lived like for the last couple of months. I was drinking out of the creek and birds were feeding me. God can sustain us. The barrel of meal shall not waste. Verse 14, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according, look at her. She did according to the word of the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. This wasn't a one-time thing. It says in the verse earlier, I don't know if you missed it, when God is sending her to the widow, in verse number 9, he says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which dwelleth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. He doesn't just tell Elijah this is where you're supposed to go. He says, I already told her. She should know you're coming. She might not have had the faith. She might have questioned a little bit. She might have thought, what, I don't know, did God tell her that morning? Did God tell her a week ago? Maybe every day the meal's getting lower and lower, and she's saying, Lord, you said a prophet's coming. I'm not going to have anything left by the time he gets here. Maybe it was just that morning. But it doesn't matter. When the decision time came, when it came time to decide, am I making this for my son, or am I going to make this for the prophet? What did she do? She said, I believe the word of God. I believe the word of God. Christian, that's when it, now the push comes to shove, that's when it really matters. When it's time to put the faith into action. Do we believe God's word? Or is it good for Sunday mornings? Do we believe God's word? Or is that just, some, you know, when I'm around other Christians, amen. No, it's when you're at work. And the boss is just on you. And other people aren't doing their thing. And you, oh God, this is so hard. I don't know. How am I supposed to be a witness? How am I supposed to be a good testimony? You don't understand the pressure I'm under. Man, I'm not even going to make it to church this week. Maybe not even next week. I got so much work I got to do. Ty, forget about that. Man, I got so many bills you don't even understand. Do we have faith in the Word of God or not? That's when it matters. She does it. Verse number 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. Like this. According to the word of the Lord. Why didn't it fail? Because God said it wasn't going to. Why every time she went to the barrel there was more meal in it? Because God said there would be more meal there. And she had faith in the word of God. And he spoke it by Elijah. Now, I was thinking about this story, all that's introduction, but I only have one point, so don't get nervous. After all Elijah went through, and as I think about this story, I know I'm using Mexico a lot tonight, but I would go to some people's houses in Mexico, and people think I like Mexican food, because I live there, but it's really not my favorite. It's okay. You know why I don't like it that much? Because it's always the same thing. You get the tortilla, you get the rice or beans, and you get mostly chopped up pork in some way to go with those things. Now they've put it a little different. You can have two little tortillas and cook the meat and put them on with some onions. You can have one big tortilla and put the rice and the meat inside and roll it up, and that's different than when it's just folded in half. You can put it all in there, then fry it, and then it's a fried, but it's the same thing. It's not spaghetti, oh, I'm getting hungry, meatball, hamburgers. No, tonight I feel like Italian. I feel like, oh, I'm going to eat some Asian. No, it's always Mexican, and it's not like the same. But it's fine. I like street tortillas and street tacos. Those are delicious. But what did God promise this widow was going to have? Now, when I read the story, I think, woo, they are set. No, she has meal and she has oil. Does it say she goes to the cupboard and there's vegetables? Does it say, oh, you're going to have a cow too who's going to give you milk? No, it's just like the children of Israel when they were wandering the desert. They got the pair of shoes and the garment. I don't read where it promises if you had multiple pairs, they're all good. And if you bought new garment, that was going to stay good. It might have been one. What pair of shoes you get? But you got it. The widow, she gets the meal, she gets the oil. And I read that, and in my selfish mind, I'm thinking, that would be a miracle to me for about a week. And then I'd be maybe like the children of Israel. Why do we only have this manna? Where's the leeks? Where's the garlic? Where's the cucumber? Oh, I don't like that stuff. But where's the cheeseburgers and the bacon? And then my mind thought, man, what would it take for me to be content? If I could put a barrel in my house, and so I've seen some people do this. It's not very common. I've seen like two people's house where some people told me about it. They had a wooden barrel in their house, and it was to remind them of this story. God gave her a little bit of meal. It never even says he filled the barrel. I don't know if she went out in the morning a certain time of day, there'd be more there. I don't know what happened if she stared at it the whole time and didn't take her eyes off. Would it slowly appear? Would she blink once? Oh, it's there? I don't know how it worked. But it was there every day. And I thought, man, what would I need to have in a barrel that I would be content? That I could say, God is keeping his word. God is blessing me. What do I need in my life to be able to say, I am blessed of God? My mind went to Job. He lost just about everything. If God took away our new house we just got, but I say, oh, thank you, Lord, you're good to me. I just got a new television. It's a budget one. Don't get nervous. I will be asking for a raise this year. No, I'm joking. If that thing, they say, you know, two people don't squeeze the screen, and I'm trying to do it myself, put it up. What if I turned it on and the corners were just all cracked up? Would I be, I don't need this thing anyway? What if I go home and Time Warner says, sorry, we can't give internet to your region anymore? Little things, but man, after a while you think, what if I didn't have this anymore? And everyone has their favorite stuff. Maybe you went to your closet, you had one pair of clothes. Could you say, God, thank you for blessing me? Or is our attitude, no, I wore that 3 weeks ago, I can't wear it now, people know. Right now I have 3 dress shirts in my closet. You probably noticed. I've got blue, red, and white. Now I've got more at my dad's house, I'm too lazy to go get them. But that's all I have in my closet right now. And I'm thinking, as I look at that, do I really need more than this? Does it matter if I bought this shirt at Walmart or if I went to some, I don't even know the expensive places would be. To me, the nice place is Penny's. So does that matter? Would I be content? Would I be able to say I'm blessed if I didn't have this? What if I had one pair of shoes? They had to work for sneakers. They had to work as my boots. They had to work as my dress shoes. And that's all I could get. And I would say, God, I'm blessed. That's enough. What if I went to the fridge and every day we had rice and beans and tortillas? Because I've met a bunch of people who that's all they have every day. And they can say, God, you've blessed me. And I read Elijah. And I know Elijah's not a perfect man and nobody is. And man, you think of the things he went through at the start of his ministry. That's a rough start. And God doesn't say, okay, now you serve me. Here's the bountiful blessings. You gave me a dollar. I'm going to give you a million. Here you go. He says, I'll keep you going. There'll be meal and there'll be oil. Now, if you flip the page over, at least it's one page in my Bible, or two, sorry. You go to chapter number 21, we read about a different person. Chapter 21, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel. hard by the palace. Here we have Ahab again. Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. So King Ahab, who's got everything, says, I want that too. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid, I can't picture a man doing this, a grown man doing this. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Maybe that's the part I have trouble with. Ahab was told no, and he didn't like it. God didn't take away his palace. God didn't take away all his lands. God didn't take his riches. He couldn't add something he wanted, and it destroyed him. And he goes on, he kills the guy, I mean, to get it. I'd never do that. You know, sometimes what makes me feel like I don't have enough, it's just little things. And you think, in the moment, you get that, oh man, I wish I had it. It would have been so nice. I wish that would have, especially something you wish you would have worked out. I've been buying a lot of stuff on Craigslist. See, the perfect thing, you know, that's the desk. Oh, that's beautiful. It's cheap. And in my mind, it's already mine. And then you call the guy and, oh yeah, yeah, come by and get it. We'll set up a time. No problem. The day comes, you drive there. Double check. I'm on my, oh, I sold it. Serious? That was mine. I don't scream that on the phone, but in my head, I'm thinking that. How could you not? We had a deal. That was going to be, I already had it pictured in my house. Now, there's a lot bigger things in life, and there's a lot more serious things we could talk about. You talk about the death of loved ones. Can I say, God, you still bless me? If God took away, I'm getting older, and I know it, and I dread it. And I think to myself, man, what's the day I'm going to wake up where there's this pain right here or down there, and it's just never going to go away the rest of my life? Because one of these days it's going to happen. Oh, could I still be happy and say, Lord, I'm blessed? We prayed for a pastor. He's still preaching in Texas. He's had 4 back surgeries. The last one they did, they had to go through the front, take all his organs, plop them to the side, so they could reach his spine in the right spot. Didn't do a thing. Still. You see him preach. He's got the pulpit gripped. He's not moving. He's just, his face is all red. Sweat's just pouring out because you can see how much pain he's in. You talk to him? He doesn't talk about it. Why? Because he says, I got the meal over here, that little bit. That's all I need. God's blessed me. Let's look at 2 verses and we'll be done. Well, 3 verses. Let's go over to Proverbs, chapter number 27. We see 3 characters, but you have Elijah and the widow who are content with just a little. A meal, a little bit of oil, God's been good to me. You have Ahab, got all the riches he could have, not enough. I want one more, I need it. Verse number 20 says, Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full. Read this part with me. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. If that's not true in America, it's not true anywhere in the world. One of our first prayers, I think it was the first prayer we prayed together, family, in our new house, was thank you, Lord, for this place, but help it not become a focus. We don't want to get consumed by anything. We don't want to work and work and work to make this place, you know, just, why? Because that's what we're told we need to do. You drive by other houses, and I can't imagine the amount of time and effort people put in. Brother Bauman could probably talk our ears off. Well, you're told that's what you need. And you might think, well, I don't have a $1 million house. That's not me. But you got your thing. Everyone's got the thing they love that they put way too much time and money in, and if it wasn't there, it would crush them. And for a lot of us, it's a lot of things. because we're not used to not having. And it, like I said before, it extends up to things I don't even like to think about losing. But you know what? My kids aren't mine. My wife isn't mine. My own life isn't mine. If God chooses to take any of them, I should be able to say, like Job, I'm still blessed. Let's read another verse. Chapter number 30, verse number 15. Proverbs 30, 15. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. I've never seen a horse leech, but it sounds like something I don't want to be called. But how many times have I gone before God, and I don't say these words, but the attitude is, give, give. How many times do I go to Walmart and think, oh yeah, I need that, and that, oh yeah, give, give. How many times do I look at my cupboard and think, that's not enough, give, give. I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe you look around the house and think, this just isn't a nice enough place for us. This isn't. You look at the car. Oh, man, there's a... You seen the features on the new one? Another big one's our phones. Ooh, get started on those things. Give, give. I don't want God to look at me and think, just like the horse leech. That doesn't sound good. Let's go to one more spot. Where was it? I think it's in John chapter 2. Sorry, I didn't have this one here. I was just asking you, Brother Bauman, before church. Where is that? I think I wrote it in my notes for my other message. Hold on. This message was 3 pages. You should be thankful. Oh, Matthew chapter 6. There it is. Matthew 6. And we're going to end with this. While we're turning there, Matthew 10 says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Up to our lives, nothing we have is truly ours. God decided when your life is going to start. He's going to decide when it's going to end. And we should just say, blessed be the name of the Lord. It says here, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, verses you probably have read before, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. That's what Elijah was doing. I'm sure he looked around and he didn't have a single treasure on earth. I don't know what he left behind when he went to be a prophet, but as soon as he preached that message to Ahab, his life radically changed. I don't see a spot where he went home, where he went to his family and they relaxed for a bit. That's not in there. I know he went to the brook and he had to live outside. I know he was fed by birds. I know eventually he was drinking out of a creek and it dried up. I know that he went to a widow's house, which was probably very small and basic and poor. Who knows if he even had a room there. He might have been sleeping on the floor. Those houses in those times were tiny. And I know he didn't have, oh, I was just thinking of Brother Burkhart smoking some nice meats back there. He didn't have that. Meal, oil. A little bit of flour and oil. Did he give up? Did he quit? When did he get his? I don't see it. But he kept preaching the Word of God. And we know his story goes on. And he does great things that some of the other people mentioned. Why? Because he wasn't laying up treasure here on earth. Now, these are hard messages and I don't like preaching them. Why? Because I'm selfish. And I like saying, mine, mine, give, give. I want more. But it's good to remind ourselves once in a while that we are not laying up treasure here on the earth, or at least we should not be. Our treasure should be invested for heaven. And when God calls us to serve Him, whether it's in ministry, whether it's just being a Christian, we are saying, God, Your Word. I put my faith in Your Word. I put everything I have and I believe in Your Word, and that's all I need. Whether or not You see fit to bless me, I'll say thank you and I'll be thankful for it with much, with, you know, houses, lands, all those things. Houses and lands. We don't say that anymore. Or whether or not, man, I'm just going to live at the bottom rung of society. I'm always going to be struggling for what I've got, but it's enough because I've got the Lord. Man, just think about the blessing of salvation. Man, that's good. That could be enough. And I'm not expecting to be, maybe it's my low expectations. Oh, I'm just going to sell my house and we're going to buy a little shack. Might not be a bad thing. Man, I'm going to downsize what I've got. We just moved into a 2,000 square foot house. We don't have everything in it. We started not in our own place, and there's no room already. How does that happen? Because even when you think, man, you don't got much, you got a lot. If God blesses us with it, praise the Lord. We see rich people in the Bible that God blessed. And they had all that, and God's given it to them. Nothing wrong with that. But are we working for it? Are we laying up that treasure? Without it, am I still content? That's what we got to think about. Let's have a time invitation tonight. Close out the service. Let's have our heads bowed, eyes closed.